everyone. Welcome back to No Time for Neutral. I'm your host, Georgia Hawthorne.
And I'm Andy.
And it is, in good news, Taylor Swift release week. In bad news, it's also probably government shutdown week. And this one is going to take us a minute to get through, so let's dive right in.
Let's do this.
So, government shutdowns, I feel like we hear these not every year, but every other year now. I feel like they're more recent than they
used to be. It's so common. I feel like it's at least twice a year.
Yeah. that there's like a shutdown watch.
Yeah.
Like they might shut down the government. Yeah. So to your point, we saw this exact same scenario play out in March of this year.
I remember fondly. Fondly. Take that out.
Traumatically?
I remember traumatically. Yeah.
So Congress ended up funding what's called a continuing resolution, or a CR, and it essentially continues to fund the government without making any real significant policy changes. So if you wanted to, like, slash the Department of Defense's budget, you could not do that through a CR. And that continuing resolution that they passed in March kept the government open through the end of fiscal year 2025, and fiscal year 2025 ends tomorrow.
The end of September.
Yeah. So we're shooting this Monday night at about 6 p.m. And the deadline to fund the government, to prevent a government shutdown, is September 30th at midnight. I do like that it's a midnight deadline instead of some like arbitrary 5 p.m. But so essentially what House Republicans want to do is pass another CR and just keep kicking the can down the road, the can being actually looking at how we fund our government and what that might look like if we change it.
So they'd rather do another CR rather than just pass an actual budget?
Yeah, essentially. And you can, the way Congress appropriates money is through, to the government anyway, is through 12 individual appropriations bills. And usually when we get to this point of like, are we going to have a shutdown? Are we not? There are usually a couple of bills that have already passed. Usually you can get a defense budget, things like that, like your really key agencies to like protecting and ensuring the U.S. continues, even if the government does shut down, essentially. That is not the case now. Zero of 12 bills have been passed, which means it would be a shutdown across the board. Every agency would feel it.
Wow.
So those are kind of the history a little bit of how we got to this current shutdown watch.
Got it.
So how we got here is very similar to how we got to where we were in March. They all kind of come about by the same similar circumstances. But this is not a redo of March, at least not from what I've seen. There's a bit more pushback from the Democrats. In March, they said they were going to like fight the CR, that they wanted an actual funding bill. And then Leader Schumer, who controls the minority in the Senate, essentially caved at the 11th hour and said, yeah, no, sorry, we'll sign it.
Right. And a lot of pushback from our party.
Yeah, they caught a lot of flack for doing that. And
remind me what his reasoning for passing it at that time was.
I believe he was afraid that shutting down the government would give Trump more power than he already had.
Okay.
Like there are certain things, like there are certain powers, and I'm not sure of them off the top of my head, but there are certain things that are granted to the president in the event that Congress cannot perform its duties.
Sure.
Or something along those lines.
And so at the time, that was Minority Leader Schumer's feelings and why he encouraged his caucus to pass the measure.
Right.
Now, fast forward to the end of September.
And it seems that
he's not wanting to pass what the Republicans are offering.
Right.
Unless they tackle their screw-ups with the healthcare.
Right. Right. And that is what they are staking their claim on. And to National Democrats' credit, it seems to me, at least thus far, that they took at least some of the feedback that they got from the base after that first shutdown scandal, because now they're kind of framing it in a very interesting way. So they're staking their claim on healthcare. They're saying, this is what we're coming to the table about. you cut ACA subsidies in the big, beautiful bill, and now health insurance prices are going up 75% for like 22 million Americans. So I want, like, I don't know what your healthcare insurance premium is, but take that times 7.75%. That is a huge, huge, huge increase in a time where people are already struggling to make ends meet. And so this is what Democrats want Republicans to come to the table about is, hey, let's get people to the doctor. That feels like a very normal thing to want to negotiate about in this context. But it's also in the framing of Democrats don't want to fund a government that is, I don't know what the correct terms are to say, because now that Antifa or anyone that the Trump administration associates with those values can now be prosecuted, dictatorial, authoritarian, fascist, maybe? Democrats are saying, we're not going to fund that. If this is how you're going to choose to use the government's money,
right,
we're not going to fund that. And what we're pinning you to the wall on is healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the negotiation background. And I think it kind of increased a lot over the last week. Trump called the National Guard into Portland. That makes it now the fourth American city that he sent the military into. He basically, like, barked at the FBI to go indict former FBI director James Comey. And they were like, yep, done. Done. And so, like, there's just a whole lot of things that are happening that are not really reassuring for democracy. These are not things that would happen in normal circumstances. And that is the broader context of this shutdown fight, is do we even bother giving them the money? Like, are they going to take us seriously if we try to bring this up at a later date? Or are they just waiting until, like, we literally cannot have that conversation anymore? So there's a lot of big context things surrounding the shutdown.
Sure.
As all,
and there's a lot in these bills.
Right. I mean, as all things are with the Trump administration. They can never be simple. Could never be simple. So that is much of the historical contextual background of, like, how we got to today. So House Republicans, the House always goes first. When it comes to funding and appropriations, the House always goes first.
Right.
And so House Republicans passed what they're calling a clean CR, which is just a continuation of the status quo, to fund the government, earlier in September. So earlier this month, they passed that, sent it over to the Senate side, and once it went over to the Senate, they said, yeah, our work here is done, peace out. And they went on recess. And they're still on recess. But so the CR from the House goes to the Senate, and it fails. Senate votes it down, which leaves the responsibility on the Senate to create a different version,
right,
pass their version,
and then send it over
to the House. Yes.
So eventually, the folks in the House of Representatives need to go back to D.C. to approve what the Senate sends them, right?
Well, you would hope. That would probably be the logical answer. Speaker Johnson has essentially said, it's not our fault that the Senate didn't like that. Like, it's like Senate Democrats are holding it hostage, all kinds of crazy rhetoric around it. But he basically said, we did our job. We did our job. See, look, even if that might not work. So odds right now are bad. If you had to make me guess right now if the government was going to shut down tomorrow, I would probably tell you that I think it's gonna. Because even if the Senate can come up with some bill, like you were saying, it has to go back to the House. And if the House wants to amend anything, so say Senate sends a version over and the House is like, everything's good except this one thing. We need this one thing changed. Then it has to go back to the Senate and get signed there again before it can be signed by the president.
Right.
Please keep in mind, all of this has to happen by Tuesday at midnight. And the House isn't even in D.C.
Wow.
It's almost comical. Like, it's not, because it's very, very scary. But, like, what do you mean the government shuts down tomorrow if they don't pass a bill? And the people who need to pass the bill aren't even there.
Doesn't make sense.
At all. But so on the Senate side, this is where most of the shutdown negotiations have been taking place. Obviously, since this is now square one. Senate Democrats made it really clear. They were like, we want an extension of the ACA subsidies first and foremost. If you really want to come to the table, let's talk about reversing the Medicaid cuts that are going to kick 15 million people off healthcare.
Yeah, and that's the perfect thing to fight for.
People going to the doctor is not a partisan thing.
Yeah. And Democrats have the leverage right now. Like, they need 7 Democrat votes to pass it in the Senate. So,
precisely.
Democrats, get what you want right now.
Well, you would think that's how it's supposed to work, is because, so, like Andy was saying, funding bills in the Senate need 60 votes to clear the chamber. Senate Republicans only have 53 of those votes within their own party. I don't do math, but I think you're short. And if you're short, those votes have to come from somewhere. And I don't think they're just going to magically spawn 7 new Republican senators in the chamber, although they probably would if they could, which means you have to come to the table with Democrats. Without Democratic votes, you don't clear 60 votes, and the bill dies in the Senate again. So we can either keep doing this really circular failing bill nonsense, or you can actually try to avert a government shutdown by engaging in a good faith compromise. Obviously, that is not what's happening. They are screaming and crying and throwing an absolute fit that they have to even talk to a Democrat.
Right.
It is, like, literally hurting their soul. last week, Donald Trump, he's like, hey, we're going to get this shutdown business figured out. I'm going to have leadership over to the White House, and we're going to get this all taken care of.
But he didn't want to meet with Democrats.
Well, no, they were invited. And then the day of the meeting, he just canceled it.
Oh, okay. That's what happened.
Canceled it, didn't reschedule. He did eventually reschedule. Schumer met with, Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer, who are the Democratic leaders of the House and the Senate, and then Mike Johnson and John Thune, who are the Republican leaders. And they met today at the White House and got nothing done. I'm shocked. Essentially, Mike Johnson and Donald Trump are saying that, like, Democrats are coming to the table with, like, unrealistic demands and, like, they want all kinds of insane things. And when the insane things are people getting healthcare. I want to make that real clear here.
Yeah.
They're not willing to come to the table and talk about your grandma getting to go to the doctor for less than her rent payment because they need 7 Democratic votes. They're just going to shut down the government over it.
Yeah. I think Mr. Johnson's a little out of touch if he thinks that's...
He's always been. Oh my goodness. But so not a whole lot of progress came out of this meeting. I think lots of folks were hoping that they'd at least take, like, a baby step, maybe? No. There were no baby steps.
If the Democrats make healthcare their number one concern, and, like, that is the compromise Republicans need to make, maybe we'll be surprised. I don't know. From, like, the things that they've been, you know, attacking recently and taking funding away from, I think that's probably a big priority that we do need to bring back.
Right.
For our people in this country. So, I don't know. We'll see. I hope they fight for that.
I hope so, too, because, like, that's why they picked it. They picked healthcare because everyone needs healthcare.
Yeah.
It's not a social issue thing. It's not, like, some niche issue.
Yeah.
It's frickin' healthcare. If we do have a shutdown, say that, like, current plan stays as is, tracks stay as they are, and the government shuts down tomorrow, it is still Republicans' fault. They own the presidency. They control the House. They control the Senate. They are the majority across literally everything in the federal government.
Mm-hmm. So if the government shuts down, it's their shutdown.
It's their shutdown. Mm. They can't win without Democrats, and they're telling them that we don't need you.
Right. And as, you know, the majority, like, they should really be able to compromise a little bit, you know? Like, I don't think it's going to take a whole lot to meet some Democrats, because mm-hmm. they don't need all of us.
Right.
They need some of us to meet us in the middle on certain things like Medicaid.
Yeah.
And put it in this bill and pass it. Like, it truly doesn't take that much.
No, right. It's not like Democrats are asking for, like, Medicare for all.
Right. We know we're in the minority funding bill. Right,
like,
now.
That is not happening right now.
Someday.
But, like, I can't imagine that there isn't some kind of even a conservative subsidy extension. Like, maybe it's not the full subsidy, but some subsidy. Like, I don't know what those negotiations look like, obviously. But when you think about more moderate types like John Fetterman,
mm-hmm.
you're telling me you can't sit down with John Fetterman and figure out a solution to healthcare.
Right.
Because if that's the truth, we are in bigger trouble than I thought.
For sure.
Like, there are conservative Democrats, moderate Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Alyssa Slotkin.
I mean, there's a lot of different Democrats. And I think that's kind of, we have lost the plot when it comes to that.
Right.
Democrats are not some, like, rainbow flag wearing, abortion having, transgender operation. Like, we are not a Fox News headline.
Yeah.
There are very many Democrats who, like, there are a lot of Democrats who would disagree with Medicare for all.
Yeah.
Like, that's true. And there are a lot of progressive Democrats who would probably disagree with a conservative subsidy extension.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the negotiating table isn't trying to bring the far right and the far left in Congress together.
Right.
That's not the goal here. But you're telling me there's not a group of 10 senators in the middle who can sit down and figure out some negotiation on healthcare?
Mm-hmm. 60 people, that's all it takes to compromise. Keep the government open.
Oh my goodness.
And I'll just say, a government shutdown isn't a good thing.
You know, no, right.
We keep coming back to this conversation a couple times every year, it seems, but, like, shutting down the government whenever it happens is not a good thing.
Right.
It's not saving us any money.
Oh, absolutely not. But it also shouldn't surprise you, really, that Donald Trump is attempting to make a shutdown harder than it has to be. They're never easy. It's not like everyone's like, oh, yay, I'm so excited for the government to shut down. No one says that. But they're hard. And this next one might be harder than usual. So when the government shuts down, there's essentially no money for the federal government that isn't, like, specifically, like, allocated and protected and secured. And I'm not super familiar with how it works, but there are reserves for agencies to keep running and for the country to not literally fall apart when the government does shut down. So federal employees are typically furloughed. And essentially what that means is they get temporarily laid off, but then you get back pay afterwards. So you can't go to work. You literally don't have a job for 3 weeks or however long the government is shut down for, but then you get paid once the government does get funded.
Who's to say the government gets funded? It could be, there's been times
where
the government's been shut down for a month.
Yeah, no, and that's the hard part is, so I interned for Senator Tesser when I was in college. And we had a pretty big shutdown scare then. I don't remember what year it was, but they were like, yeah, so we might not be able to come to work. And me, I was like 21. I was like, nice. I'm gonna sleep in. But now that I'm like a big girl and an adult, it's kind of, like, scary. Like, what do you mean I'm not going to have a job for 3 weeks? What do you mean I'm not going to get paid for 3 weeks?
In general, like, operations around the country
mm-hmm.
that government oversees.
Right.
Those operations having to furlough their people.
Right. It slows everything down.
Yeah. Yeah. So if, you know, somebody's having issue about some federal government-related program already,
mm-hmm.
don't think that's going to get any better with the government shutdown.
Right. And so, like, Social Security payments, Medicaid payments, those kinds of things, those will still happen. That is one of those protected, insulated things from a shutdown. However, if you happen to lose your health insurance while the government is shut down and you need to apply for Medicaid, that application isn't getting processed until the government is funded again.
Yikes.
Same thing with new Social Security applications, things like that. So if you're already on those programs, you shouldn't see a disruption. But if you're having issues or you think you may need those programs soon, the wait might be a lot longer than it probably should be. I read this today, and I think this is what maybe makes me the most mad about the consequences of a shutdown. So people can't apply for Social Security. People can't apply for Medicaid, that kind of thing. Federal employees don't get paid. There are some employees who are exempt from the furlough, which means they still have to work, but they still don't get paid.
Oof.
So you could go to work.
Awful.
Yeah, you get to go to work, but you don't get your paycheck.
Ugh.
Which is horrible.
It's devastating.
And would you like to know, a big chunk of an agency that is exempt and gets to continue working in the event of a shutdown?
The healthcare industry?
ICE.
Oh.
17,000 out of 20,000 ICE agents will be exempt from the furlough in the event the government shuts down. Which means that everything will be falling apart, but don't you worry. Those ICE agents are still going to be out on the street.
Right. Yeah, because Trump needs to continue deporting brown people because they're brown.
Yeah. So there is a clause in the Constitution that says the salary of a president cannot be raised or lowered during their time in office. So if you're the president, you can't give yourself $1 million bonus. But also if you're the president and everyone hates you, they can't pay you $0. So you can't change the president's salary while they're in office. That also applies to shutdowns. Meaning that every single federal government employee in the event of a shutdown will not get paid for as long as the government is not funded. But Donald Trump will. Which makes me so angry.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the paycheck.
No.
But the federal employees probably do. Like, these are not just, like, D.C. bureaucrats who are going to be out of a job.
They're everyday people.
Yeah. Like, these are your neighbors.
They're not elected officials.
Yeah. I also saw something that, so I explained the furlough because this is my hope is what happens, because the Trump administration is now kind of suggesting to agencies that maybe they should just permanently lay off people while they're at it.
Yeah, I think that's their shtick. I mean, they're cutting programs, they have been since Trump came into office. Mm-hmm. So, like, honestly, I don't think Republicans are that scared of a government shutdown because it's the prime opportunity for them to shut down the government for low employees and never bring them back.
Right. And you're not going to know either. You'll go on your normal furlough because the shutdown happens, and then you'll just get an email one day that's like, actually, don't come back. Which is, this is not normal, people. I know it's not normal, and it feels like it's normal because something like this happens literally every day. This is not normal behavior.
It's not normal.
This is not normal politics.
These governmental programs is not saving the government any money. I mean, the Republicans just passed that massive, big, ugly-ass bill that increased the deficit by like $3 trillion.
Right.
So all of these important government programs and agencies, the Department of Education, for example, hundreds of people getting laid off. Kicked out of their jobs. It's an important job. It's not saving the government money.
No. And even if it was saving the government money, all of the savings would go to all their billionaire buddies' tax breaks that they wrote in.
Yeah.
Like, These guys don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about you. They don't care about you. The only thing they care about is making another dollar.
Georgie, I hear there's a new representative that was elected from Arizona.
Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
I will. And she could be really good news for us. Provided the government doesn't shut down and Congress stays in session. But her name is Adelita Grijalva, or Grijalva? Grijalva, I think. She won the Arizona 7 special election. I think it was last week. It was actually her father's seat, who passed away. And then she won the primary and then was elected in the general. And the reason why folks are kind of talking about her election is because there's a pretty slim margin in the House. And the Democratic margin has gotten bigger, not because more Republicans have been elected, but because there have been several Democrats who have died in office.
Oof.
This year.
That's unfortunate.
Correct. And so now all of these specials are finally getting conducted, and we're finally starting to fill in some of these seats.
Okay.
Which gives us more bargaining power on the House floor.
Yeah.
But the reason why she in particular is notable is because she will be the next one to be sworn in. And she has already said that she plans on signing Representative Thomas Massie's petition to force a discharge of the Epstein files.
The Epstein files, okay.
So that will be very, very interesting. There are four Republicans signed on to it right now.
Okay.
Every single Democrat plus four Republicans. It's Thomas Massie who brought the petition. And then three names you would never, ever, ever expect to hear on a list with Democrats.
Uh-huh.
Those being Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and Nancy Mace.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yep. Those are the three that have signed on to the petition. I gotta give them kudos.
Yeah. Never would I have ever.
Oh, same. Yeah. No, those are not the names you would ever expect to see.
Yeah.
But so those four plus all the Democrats puts us at 217. You need 218 to reach a majority in the House.
So she would be that last vote needed to force the release of the Epstein file.
Essentially, there are some like procedural things that have to happen and so on and so forth. But from what I understand, essentially once that 218th vote gets signed, it will happen. Eventually, provided that everyone listens to the rules.
Okay. But you were also telling me that the House Majority Leader is kind of trying to throw a monkey wrench in there.
Yeah, I haven't looked a whole lot into it, mainly because I'm more concerned about what Mike Johnson is doing with the shutdown right now. And maybe he should be more focused on what he's doing with the shutdown right now.
Pass that budget.
Maybe. And then maybe we can circle back to this. I've seen a couple of headlines. I don't know any details that he is considering finding a way or looking into or doing something to either prevent her being sworn in or to delay her swearing in, which is a really, really dramatic step to take to protect a bunch of pedophiles. Let me just say.
Right. Especially, like, preventing a duly appointed legislator. That doesn't seem right.
Oh, it's not. Nothing they do is. But so, yeah, we'll keep you posted on that. I'm sure that one will probably get dragged out way longer than it needs to be, and we won't see them as soon as we should, and so on and so forth. But it will be interesting to see if and when we do get them, if they are FBI redacted. Because there was something going on several weeks, months, I don't know, I think it was a summer sometime, that the FBI was going through and combing through the Epstein files, which didn't exist at the time, or Epstein documents or whatever, and redacting the president's name from them.
What?
So, yeah. Don't we live in an awesome place?
Can't make this shit up.
God, I wish we could. I wish it was. You can take me out of the sitcom now, please.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's not the most dire point in human history.
No.
But it's really screwed up. You know, like.
Yeah.
I just gotta be honest, folks. When I was, you know, I guess young and naive and, you know, just finding my way graduating from college, did I think I would live in a world where fascist potential dictators were going to be in power in DC? No.
No, I did not.
No, but now he's in a second term. And I'm just like, how did we get here?
And that's just domestically.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten into anything outside of the U.S., and for my own sanity, we're not going to. Yeah. So tell me.
And that's why it's important to register to vote.
Yes.
And vote.
Please go register to vote. Municipal elections are this fall.
Right. There is hope, and we will get through this. But folks, you got to pay attention. And
you got to get off your butt and go do it.
Yeah.
It's the hard truth.
Yeah. And vote for Democrats, because Democrats are the only ones holding Republicans accountable right now. Like, let's just be honest. They run the House. They run the Senate. Trump is in office. So, like, again, if there's a shutdown tomorrow night, it's a Republican shutdown. Let's be clear.
That's their circus, not mine. Did you do anything fun this weekend?
Oh, what did I do this weekend? I know it's only Monday, but this weekend feels like ages ago already.
Yeah, it does.
I had a full day off on Saturday. It was glorious. I spent the entire day on the couch in Drummond. Did the chores, of course. Hung out with the animals. I'm building a Lego right now.
Ooh, so, which one are you building?
It's a museum.
Nice.
It's a Lego modular, and it's a very large piece. It's really cool.
Okay.
Very detailed.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm a big Lego fanatic.
I love that. I went to a wedding.
Okay.
My cousin got married this weekend. It was lovely. We did the ceremony out by the walking bridge in Fort Benton.
Nice.
Do you know where I'm talking? It was so, so nice. It was gorgeous outside. Maybe
I
a little
Fort
hot.
Benton. Such a cool town.
And Fort Benton was doing Oktoberfest.
Were they?
Yeah. Which was a very interesting mix of vibes. But it was a good time. And then Sunday we did wedding brunch.
Love that.
Like a post-wedding brunch. And then I also laid on the couch and did absolutely nothing.
Fun. Fun, fun. Well, you mentioned Oktoberfest. If you find yourself in or around Missoula on Saturday, come to German Fest.
You were telling me about this, and you bought me into it.
Yes, I've been telling everybody, because I've been working heavily on this event the last couple months for work. I've actually never been to it myself, so I'm just like,
oh, nice.
Excited. My friend Heidi, thank you, Heidi, has lent me her husband's Lederhosen.
Okay, now I have to go.
So I'm going to be coming dressed up. I'll be working, but I'll be ready to work in my outfit. It's going to be lots of fun. Byron Brewing will be... their beer will be sold at the event.
Are they doing food?
We're going to be selling brats, yeah.
Okay.
Brats, German potato salad, sauerkraut will be available. Some other food vendors there. Oompa music. It's going to be great.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm coming. And I'm getting a picture with you in Lederhosen.
Okay, great.
But I think that's all we've got for you folks. Here in Missoula, come find us and have a beer, maybe? Other than that, hope and pray the government doesn't shut down. And we will see you next week.